And welcome back, everybody. We're back for episode 27 of the Announcer Schedules podcast here on the Sports Media Watch feed. I'm Mike Gill, your host. Bill DeMont-Mollen, of course, is always with me. He is the face, the voice behind the Twitter handle, at Announcer Skids. Can you tell we're getting to the end of the year, Phil? I'm getting ready for a lot of vacation time coming up. I'll be sitting in, listening to all the broadcast out there.
Pretty amazing. We're already towards the end of the year. Regular season college football, with the exception of Army Navy, wrapped up, and coming down the stretch with the NFL. World Cup is just about done itself. You know, this thing has flown by. Also, we're going to touch on that, as well as NBA and NHL college hoops. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, let me get the handiwork out of the way. First, though, rate, review, subscribe, share, like, do whatever you have to do. Keep letting people know about the podcast. That helps. There's all sorts of crazy algorithms. So if you rate, review, subscribe, that helps us out big time. Apple Podcasts, leave a comment, leave a review. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you like. You can tell us what you don't like. We might not listen to you, but we always like the feedback, and it's fun here on the Sports Media Watch feed. You get three podcasts for the price of zero, right? We got three. George Hoffman, Tell Me a Story I Don't Know, TJ Reeves, John Lewis, the Sports Media Watch podcast. They go over, like, the ratings and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's basically how this show was born. I listened to TJ and John. I'm a big fan of their podcast. I'm a kind of a ratings geek myself, much like you, Phil. I love the broadcaster side of it as well. And they put us together, and here we are. The Announcer Schedules podcast is alive and well. Week 27, we start off with the World Cup. Quarterfinals this weekend, Croatia, Brazil, Argentina. The Dutch are still alive. They beat the Americans last weekend. Great ratings for that. And now Argentina and the Netherlands will play. This podcast will drop. We're recording on Thursday. It'll probably drop a little later today. So by the time you hear this, this game may be just kicking off. Argentina, Netherlands, Croatia, Brazil. That's 10 a.m. What do we got there?
Yeah, you know, I was searching for announcer pairings for these quarterfinal games: Croatia, Brazil, Argentina, Netherlands, Friday, Portugal, Morocco, and a big one. I'd expect this thing to get some major ratings itself: England, France, 2 p.m. On Saturday. A lot of attention around that one. And as of the taping of this show, I haven't seen it released anywhere as far as exactly who will be announcing these games. You know, I can only speculate, even though by the time you're listening to this, you know, the news may be out there, but I'm guessing, of course, Strong and Holden, likely that number one team, John Strong and Stu Holden, will be on that England-France game, maybe Argentina-Netherlands as well. And then you could go with a different crew with Croatia, Brazil, and Portugal, Morocco. That's sort of what they did, you know, using three crews on four games for this last round as well. JP Della Camara and Kobe Jones were on that Japan-Croatia game. That was a wild one. And also Ian Dark and Landon Donovan were on the Morocco-Spain game. So, you know, two wild games there that those guys got to call. So I'd imagine that that's probably the scenario here, but you could go, you know, four crews deep as well, I guess, and Holden and Strong just getting the England-France game. But, you know, again, like we'll find out that shortly here. And, you know, I love the World Cup, you know, and we're coming down the stretch here, and every game is magnified that much further. Semifinals right around the corner as well, Tuesday and Wednesday of this coming week. Then the finals are, you know, a week from Sunday on December the 18th. So before we know it, this whole deal is going to be wrapped up. But a lot of, big matchups this weekend for sure.
Yeah, and, I think for the most part, Fox has been getting up and down reviews for this. I think the game coverage has been solid. I think it's the pregame stuff. We talked a little bit about that. People have been complaining about the most. The hardcore soccer fans don't like the pregame coverage. The game coverage has been pretty good. But guess what? Fox has this in 2026, too, so you better get used to it. This is the way it's going to be, because it's going to be in the States. It's going to be, by the way, more teams in 2026. They're expanding the World Cup field to 48 teams, I think, in 2026. But, it goes by quick. It's like the NCAA tournament. You have games on all the time, every day, and then once that kind of gets past you, it's like, oh, we're at the end of this thing. But, World Cup 2022 almost in the books. That final is on Sunday the 18th. That's a 10 o'clock game. And, of course, the World Cup will have updates on that next week here on the pod. Thursday Night Football back tonight. We're recording on Thursday. So tonight, Saints and the Bucs were last week's game. This week, we're going to get Raiders and Rams, and that's not the best game.
Yeah, well, Saints and Bucs were that Monday night game this past week. That was a wild one. I heard TJ talking a little bit about that. I think they were recording their show as he was still recovering from that wild comeback for the Buccaneers.
All right. By the way, Bills and Patriots were last Thursday.
Bills and Patriots were last Thursday, and then this week Raiders Rams on Thursday night. Do want to touch a little bit, Mike, on that Saints Bucs game before we get into this week's run. You know, that was a wild comeback. I've got some friends who are Saints fans who, you know, they looked at it through a whole different lens, you know, as far as, you know, the Saints kind of blowing the thing. But a wild night there. You know, the Monday Night Football crews, of course, you know, Joe Buck and Aikman on the ESPN side of things, and Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner handling things on Westwood One.
Brady with one big completion after another. They began this drive at their own 37. They're now at the 6 of New Orleans. 8 seconds to go, down by 6. Brady in the gun, flanked by the running back, White. Tight end in motion, looks into the nickel. Four-man front, Brady back. Cox's arm, a lot of congestion, throws a pass, caught by the rookie running back at the goal line. Spins, dives, touchdown, Rashad White. Touchdown pass by Brady. They've tied the game. 3 seconds to go. With the extra point coming up, the rookie running back Rashad White just caught an 8-yard touchdown pass from Tom Brady. And now the all-important extra point, 3 seconds to go. Suck up. Perfect this year. 16 of 16. Snap, ball put down, kick is up, flag thrown, kick was good. Kick was good, flag thrown. And the penalty goes on the Saints.
I'm in disbelief right here.
I am too. The Bucs. Here we go now with the call.
One-point drive was successful. Unsportsmanlike conduct, leverage on New Orleans. Tampa Bay will have the 15-yard penalty enforced on the kickoff. That foul was on number 90.
Tom Brady with his 44th career fourth quarter comeback. Buccaneers, 2 touchdowns in the final 3 minutes. And he hits the rookie running back, Rashad White. And getting some redemption after his fumble earlier in the game.
So there you go. Kevin Harlan, the call on Westwood One Radio with Kevin Harlan. What a the touchdown call, as he said, almost in disbelief. And you don't hear Harlan's voice crack or do much different. He actually seemed almost emotional with the fact that he called that drive.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting. Always when there's a flag on the play and you're trying to sort that out, you know, the announcer sometimes kind of wants to temper things a little bit, because if he, you know, made this big, you know, scoring play call, but then it gets called back, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you let the air out of the balloon kind of thing. So, you know, that's interesting to kind of, you know, visualize the booth while that's getting sorted out in terms of the officials' call as well. But all in all, I love Harlan on the radio. You know, the radio, the theater of the mind, as they say, you know, a radio call, and the detail he gives. If you haven't listened to, like, you know, a complete game from Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, you really feel like you're there. You know, he's giving so many, you know, minute details, and part of it is he's got this sort of rapid fire, you know, quick approach to it. So he's able to cram that much more in on any given, you know, set of downs or what have you. And, you know, that was cool to see. And, you know, we didn't hear much of Kurt Warner on that clip, but Warner is a great compliment to Harlan as well on those Monday night
games. Yeah, I mean, you could just go from start to finish with Harlan. Just if you listen to him on the radio to start a game off, you'll hear him, you know, here's Nick Elliott. He approaches the football. He swings his right leg through the ball. Like, he's literally, like, how many people tell you what leg kicker is? It seems so minute. But when you're listening on the radio now, you can kind of visualize this right leg swinging through the football. And I always listen to the detail that he brings to the table. And, yeah, Harlan is one of my favorite to listen on the radio. Now, he also does television as well. He'll be on TV this weekend. We'll let you know where he is, but let's go through the rundown.
Yeah, so you mentioned the Thursday night game, you know, back on Amazon Prime, Michaels, Herb Street, and Hartung on that one. And then another full slate come Sunday. A couple of the highlights, we mentioned Kevin Harlan. He'll be in Pittsburgh for Ravens Steelers on CBS at 1 o'clock. The number one crew of Nance Romo and Wolfson will be in Buffalo for Jets Bills. Former guest of the podcast, Andrew Catalan, play-by-play for Jaguars and Titans. Couple other highlights. Joe Davis's crew with Daryl Johnston and Pam Oliver. That's the Eagles Giants game. Certainly a big one. Vikings Lions. Kenny Albert will be in Detroit with his crew, Jonathan Vilma and Shannon Spake. Former guest of the podcast, Kevin Kugler, will be in Dallas for Texans and Cowboys. And then the 4 o'clock games, Ian Eagle and Charles Davis, Evan Washburn on Chiefs Broncos. The number one Fox crew with Burkhart and Olson will be in San Francisco for Bucks Niners. Adam Amin and his crew in Seattle for Panthers Seahawks. And then the Sunday night game is Dolphins and Chargers. Of course, NBC, Tirico Collinsworth and Melissa Stark. Monday night, Pats and Arizona Cardinals. So down in Phoenix for Monday night.
All right. Those of you driving around, Westwood One has Thursday night football. Spiro Ditas and Tony Baselli have that Thursday night game. Josh Appel and Brandon Noble on Sports USA are doing Jets and Bills. That's a good game there. ESPN Radio's got Eagles and Giants. That's Chris Carlin and Sal Palantonio. Sal Pal will be on my show Friday at 3 o'clock on the radio on 97.3 ESPN in Atlantic City. So you can listen to Sal Pal break that game down. Compass Media has Kevin Ray and Danny White. That's that Cowboys national feed. Sports USA has Chiefs and Broncos. It's Larry Kahn and Doug Plank. That was the game that was originally the Sunday night game. That got flexed out and sent to 4 o'clock. Troy Clardy and Brian Baldinger. So Baldy has a different partner this week. Troy, who's emailed me a bunch of times. We're going to have to get Troy on the podcast here. And I do get your emails, Troy. He's doing the game for Compass Media. He's a West Coast guy. And he's got Baldy, usually Chris Carino with Baldy on those games. That is Tampa Bay and San Francisco for 425. ESPN Radio has a doubleheader. Brian Kuster and Kirk Morrison is in the mix for that game this week. Kirk's got a couple games coming up as well. I got the look ahead to their schedule, full disclosure there. And Westwood One, Ryan Radke and Mike Golick have the Sunday night football, Dolphins Chargers. Monday night, Kevin Harlan is back with Kurt Warner. So, some interesting names, and that Clardy Baldinger. That's the first time I think I've seen Troy on an NFL game, and Baldy usually works with Carino there, so that's a new team.
Yeah, good, great stuff there, and like we mentioned with that Kevin Harlan Westwood One call, great opportunity to listen to all sorts of accomplished announcers on the radio.
All right, college football. Down the stretch they come, and kind of an interesting note I think we should touch on. In the announcer world, this is a pregame kind of announcer. You might be able to talk a little bit more about what Chris Felicia does, known as the Bear to ESPN viewers. But the Bear no longer on College game day, his final game day appearance. So, Phil, if you could kind of talk about what his role is to that show.
Yeah, Chris Felica, Chris the Bear Felica. I actually have a personal connection to Chris, which I'll, you know, explain in a second as well. But the big news this week, Felica to Fox, you know, it kind of came up very quickly, you know, while College game day was finishing up their season with the, you know, the championship game weekend. Felica has been with ESPN in College Game Day since 1996. Grand total of 456 game day shows, 418 of those on the road. And he began as a behind-the-scenes researcher and stats guy, you know, who would really just feed the talent, you know, all sorts of nuggets and be working behind the scenes with the graphics guys and that kind of thing, and just was one of these, you know, sort of encyclopedias, you know, when it came to especially college football. And over the years, you know, he became a on-air personality as well, and they incorporated him into the show, which I thought was really cool. And you know, it was kind of interesting on the set. You know, he would make his picks, but you would always notice he was kind of there with a laptop as well, and like he was pounding away on the research and the stats work while still, you know, doing the on-air stuff as well. And they would go to him every once in a while. He also would often travel with the announcers to whatever that Saturday night game, you know, so whether it was, you know, Herb Street and Fowler doing that Saturday night game, and then he would kind of be a additional resource for those broadcasts, you know, on air. And then they would go to him every once in a while, you know, for some of these Aflac trivia questions and that kind of thing. This year, I also learned, you know, with Herb Street getting the Amazon Prime gig on Thursday nights with the NFL, that Felica actually worked those also, which was kind of an interesting twist of things. And so Felica would travel with Herb Street. You know, there's a charter involved in that, which is nice, and work those Thursday night NFL games as well. So that was, you know, an addition for him as far as his, you know, workload, but also I'd imagine, you know, pretty lucrative as well, working on those NFL games. And then, you know, the big news this week that he's going over to Fox, and, you know, they obviously continue to ramp things up on the college football side with the big noon kickoff show, you know, really head-to-head competition against Game Day. But also, you know, Chris has revealed in a couple interviews that he's going to, you know, work other sports beyond college football as well. And I'd imagine gambling is a big, big part of it, because, you know, he's, you know, kind of worked that niche, you know, as time has evolved as far as that gambling side of things. But I'd imagine you've watched plenty of Chris Felica yourself, Mike. You a fan? Fair to call you a fan of the Bear?
Yeah, I really like how they kind of incorporated him in as this, you know, he's kind of like the producer. But, you know, generally, the thought is the guy who's the producer, he's got all these thoughts and ideas, but he's just not articulately great at getting them, and that's why they're not on air as much as they are behind the scenes. And they kind of took that part about him and made it part of the show, this kind of awkwardly sitting there, just throw it over to him, and he's, you know, kind of working at the same time, and he's looking over his shoulder, and he's like, yeah, I think this is what's going to – I mean – really, you know that guy has more knowledge of what's going on than the guys that were on the television set talking about it, but he's just pounding out the work and doing the facts. I loved how they incorporated him. My biggest thought when I saw it, I literally was like, holy mackerel, I can't believe that he's leaving. And I had wondered if he's going to have a similar role on the Big Noon Kickoff show, or are they going to take him out of that producer spot and actually put him on the set? That is what I'm really interested by.
Yeah, but not sure. I'd imagine it's more on-air type stuff and certainly more content, you know, when it comes to, you know, the gambling side in particular. But, you know, big opportunity for Chris. I'm really, really happy for him. I mentioned I had a bit of a personal connection to him. He's a University of Miami alum and, you know, not really shy about talking about that either. That's come up quite a bit on air over the years. But he interned in the same office I ended up working at, the sports information department at University of Miami in Coral Gables, Florida, the year before I arrived. So, you know, he was there in 1995. I got there in 96, and he had just started at ESPN. And this was before the day of social media. You know, we weren't even doing that much stuff via email in those days, you know, when it came to a sports information operation. But we would call Chris with nuggets when it came to whatever was happening with Hurricanes football. And we had like kind of a direct line to Chris because he had worked in our office as well. And so, you know, if there was some incredible nugget that came through from that day of college football that we had recognized, and particularly with University of Miami football, you know, we would get on kind of our little bat line to Chris and tell him what's going on, and he would do his best to incorporate it into the show and that kind of thing. So, you know, there was always that University of Miami connection with Chris and myself, and, you know, a lot of my friends are pretty tight with him also, and everybody just seems super happy that he was able to, you know, find kind of the next, you know, move for him here to continue to elevate his career.
All right, well, big news there, and we'll see what his role will be on Fox now. So the Bear is heading to Fox. This Saturday it is Army-Navy, and that is final regular season game of the college football season, and it has the entire Saturday to itself.
Yeah, that's right. Army-Navy, it'd be interesting to hear from, you know, John Lewis, you know, historically, just how well this game does. I'd imagine it does awfully well because, like you said, it's the big, show on that Saturday. And it actually will be kick off in the middle of that England-France World Cup game. But then come the second half of Army-Navy, it will have pretty much the landscape in terms of big events happening on Saturday to itself. So I'd imagine the ratings will be high, and, you know, CBS broadcast, of course, that number one team who, you know, we've talked about quite a bit, and I've gotten to catch quite a bit this year, Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson, and Jenny Dell, who I think has done a great job on the sidelines in her first season with that number one CBS team.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I will say, I know the play-by-play announcers, Pete DeMarco of Army and Pete Medhurst of Navy, they have been doing some interviews all around. So they are the local play-by-players. And then, as you mentioned, you've got the national feed, of course, which can be heard on CBS, Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson, and Jenny Dell. And then Westwood One also carries the game. John Sadak, Ross Tucker, and Tina Cerveso is the sidelines, so they do make a big presentation and they make this a huge game, and it deserves it. It is a tremendous, if you've never been to an Army-Navy game, it is a sight to see to be a part of that. So that is this Saturday, and then Saturday night, kind of lost in the sauce, I feel like, is the Heisman Trophy presentation.
Yeah, I agree too. You know, it's not what it used to be. It used to, you know, for me at least, be must-watch TV and appointment viewing and all that. And it does get kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit. And, you know, the challenge for ESPN, who broadcasts that show on this time, it'll be on Saturday night at 8 p.m. on ESPN, is, you know, making it an attraction, and perhaps you got to do more than, you know, what we've done in the past, as far as, you know, just simply, you know, interviewing each of the finalists, and, you know, then the reveal with the security guy from the, you know, from the group who's holding the ballots and all that kind of thing. But, you know, I'm not sure exactly what that answer is, but I agree with you. It's not what it once was, but you know, certainly, kind of like the Army-Navy game, it does sort of get, you know, the stage to itself in a lot of ways when it comes to football on Saturday night of this week.
All right. The College Bowls are here, and that's a ton of games to fill. Over 40 bowl games need to be filled. So, Phil, I don't know if I have the whole radio list, by the way, of the bowl announcers, and there's a ton of names on here that you're familiar with, a lot of new names. So this time of the year gives a lot of people an opportunity to get some reps.
Yeah, so just as we're recording this, yesterday ESPN announced its entire commentator team for all of its bowl games. It has the majority of the bowl games, as most people know. In total, ESPN has got a 40-game slate, as you mentioned. And, you know, I do want to give a shout-out to their PR department, Amanda Brooks, who put this listing together and actually included several really cool notes as far as, you know, kind of the things we talk about, announcers, you know, travel and going back home and those kind of things. And, you know, a couple in particular stuck out to me. Anish Shroff will be in Charlotte, which is his home. You know, he's the voice of the Panthers. We've talked about him a bunch. He'll be on that Duke's Mayo Bowl. You know, so that's cool to see. You know, it all kicks off with the Bahamas Bowl, which I actually got to work once. And Steve Levy has emerged as over time, who I worked his first Bahamas Bowl as the unofficial official voice of the Bahamas Bowl. That's a cool gig. This time around, Joey Galloway is heading down there with them, along with Chris Budden. You know, and so it's always kind of interesting to me as I go through this list, you know, some of the locations that folks get to work at. You know, Dave Pasch and Herb Street, Pat McAfee, that has to get your attention. That crew, that booth, that's going to be the Las Vegas Bowl, Florida and Oregon State. The Jimmy Kimmel Bowl, which includes, you know, some crossover stuff with Jimmy Kimmel himself, typically. On the TV side, Joe Tess and Greg McElroy will be in Los Angeles for that. George Sedano on the radio side. And then, you know, just looking on down the list even further, the Myrtle Beach Bowl, you know, that's always an interesting one. Mike Morgan's on that. You know, Wes, who we've talked about a bunch on the show, he's heading to New Orleans for one of his assignments for the New Orleans Bowl. And then, you know, you're always curious, like, all right, who gets the opportunity to, you know, do the big games, but also, like I said, like, you know, these games in these exotic locations, you know, and, you know, cool to see, you know, whoever gets to go to Hawaii and all these things. And on the flip side, you know, the guys who have to deal with places like, you know, Boise, Idaho, and the Pinstripe Bowl and that kind of thing, and maybe having to contend with some tough weather as well. But it's always fun to look at this list when it comes out. And, you know, having worked a bunch of bowl games in the past, it's a treat in a lot of ways and a reward in a lot of ways to be assigned one of these bowl games. And, you know, in a lot of cases, you're able to take an extra day or two when it comes to the travel part and, you know, enjoy some of those, you know, perks and festivities. A lot of the bowls roll out a lot of hospitality type stuff for the media that you're able to take advantage of also. So congratulations to all the announcers who were assigned bowls this season.
Well, you got a lot of new names on radio. I mean, Kevin Winter and Freddie Coleman, who does the, the night show on ESPN Radio. He's going to be the analyst for that game with Kevin Winter, who is one of their update anchors. He does a lot of pregame shows, like the Baseball Tonight pregame shows. He does a lot of the NBA pregame shows. He's doing the Bahamas Bowl. So Kevin Winter and Freddie Coleman, they're heading to Bahamas. You mentioned Anish. He's doing the Celebration Bowl, the Cricket Celebration Bowl with Max Starks on Saturday the 17th. George Sedano, Rod Gilmore, Jay Alter, and Dave Steckel. There's a team we haven't talked about all year long. They're doing the New Mexico Bowl. We got Mike Corey and Forrest Conley doing the New Orleans Bowl. Kevin Winter is back for the Hawaii Bowl. So Kevin gets to go to the Bahamas and the Hawaii Bowl. I mean, Kevin must have really had a good year at work. Trevor Maddich is doing the game. Our buddy Mike Cousins, who was on the podcast, he's doing the game with Max Starks. He works with him a lot for the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. We've got Mark Keschiser and Kelly Stauffer. They're doing the Texas Bowl. Chris Carlin, Mark Herlich is doing the Pinstripe Bowl. Of course, Chris is a New York-based guy. Pinstripe Bowl is right there. Mike Morgan, as you mentioned, will be on the Cheez-It Bowl. George Sedano is back for the Alamo Bowl. Bill Roth and Charles Arbuckle are doing that Duke's Mayo Bowl that you had mentioned on the TV side. Mike Cousins and Starks are doing the Orange Bowl. Sean Kelly's back doing the Sugar Bowl with Robert Griffin III. So that's the first time I think I've heard RG3 on radio. Ketchesser and Stauffer are back for the Fiesta Bowl. Joe Tessitore, Greg McElroy get the Peach Bowl. So Joe Tess is doing the radio playoff game. We don't hear him do radio, I don't think, all season long. Cousins and Starks are back for the Citrus Bowl. Brad Sham is doing ESPN radio in the Cotton Bowl Classic. Brad is not an ESPN guy. They must be bringing him in just for the game because of, I guess, where he lives. It's obviously in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But Brad Sham on play-by-play with Dusty Dvorak on the Cotton Bowl. Mark Kessler and Kelly Stauffer are back for the Rose Bowl. And the national championship game on radio will be Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge. So some interesting radio pairings there.
Yeah, no doubt. And looking forward to seeing all that. And as you're planning your holidays, just to keep in mind, New Year's Eve on a Saturday, December the 31st, the Sugar Bowl, as well as, you know, the two college football playoff semifinals, one at the Fiesta Bowl, one at the Peach Bowl. So, Phoenix and Atlanta, respectively. Dave Pasch is on that Sugar Bowl along with his crew. Sean McDonough on that Fiesta Bowl, and then the Fowler Herb Street crew.
Real quick,
on the Peach Bowl.
When is the Bahamas Bowl that you said Steve Levy is doing?
Yeah, it actually kicks off the entire bowl season. So that's Friday, December the 16th.
Okay, because Sunday, December 18th, he is doing Eagles-Bears with Mike Tannenbaum. And then he is doing Bengals and Patriots the Christmas Eve. So he'll be in the Bahamas, then Chicago within a two-day span there.
So, a suntan and well-rested for the, yeah. Those NFL games.
Yes, indeed.
That trip to the Bahamas. But, 11:30 a.m. on Friday, December the 16th, you can kick it all off with that Bahamas Bowl. And then, New Year's Eve is on that Saturday. Sunday, January 1st, will be a slate of NFL games. So no college football on that Sunday. And then Monday the 2nd is kind of the traditional New Year's Day bowl game stretch, games, like the Citrus Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Rose Bowl, all happening there. And then that college football playoff national championship with Fowler and Herb Street on Monday, January the 9th. So a lot of good stuff, a lot happening on the side of bowl games. We'll be able to touch on it more in these coming weeks. And really looking forward to diving into these. It's a lot of fun to watch these bowl games. And Mike, I know you were talking about going to one in person. Have you figured that out yet?
Or? Well, we had wanted to go to, we were hoping ECU was going to go to either the Fenway Bowl in Boston because of the proximity to us and the Annapolis Military Bowl. They got picked to go to the Birmingham Bowl, so I think we're going to pass. The round trip flights to Birmingham, Alabama, this time of year, a little too pricey to go check out Birmingham. Nothing against Birmingham, but it's not a drive. Annapolis is a drive. Fenway's a drive. Birmingham, we'd have to take a flight, and the round-trip flights were ridiculously expensive to get there. So not going to make it happen this year to the Birmingham Bowl. And my Mountaineers, WVU, have not been to a bowl game in the last couple of years. They need to get it right down there. All right? Come on, boys. They did get a new AD that they announced last week, I guess. But speaking of college basketball, an interesting college basketball tidbit with West Virginia in the game from Wednesday night. I thought this was over with, Phil, but the two broadcasters were not in a studio on remote. They were in their house on remote last night, and Bob Huggins commented on it. I guess I got to get the direct quote from Huggins, but he noticed that they did not have broadcasters. That game was an ESPNU game. But I guess, again, the sign of the times that they could, say, hey, broadcasters, you want to do the game tonight, WVU, Navy? Do I have to travel? Nope. All right. Stay in your house.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a bunch before on the show, that during the pandemic, the network set up all sorts of systems to be able to do remote broadcasting. You know, it was something that was happening on the production side years prior, and has happened in other sports, namely soccer, over time quite a bit, as far as, you know, announcers calling the game remotely from, you know, some sort of studio location, whether it be an actual physical studio or a studio made in someone's home, which was, you know, what came about in the pandemic. And then I think the bottom line is it has to do with the bottom line. And, you know, the management has decided that, hey, there's efficiencies here in terms of cost, and we can pull this off for certain events. And I contend that a lot of games go by completely unnoticed that are being called remotely that folks wouldn't realize.
Yeah.
But when it is kind of revealed, you know, sometimes, you know, people have made some noise about it, and there's been a couple mistakes made, in all sorts of sports and scenarios and broadcasts, and, you know, those get amplified. But I think it's a reality that we've got now in terms of certain events being done remotely. Now, the biggest events on the biggest networks and those kind of things, you know, the announcers certainly seem to be at all those games. But, you know, because all these efficiencies were built and created during the pandemic, including these home studio kits, which you mentioned, you know, like, you know, I remember when all that was going down, and ESPN would like ship to the announcers like this whole little kit that they would be able to, you know, set up a home studio with even some lighting and that kind of thing, and be able to transmit effectively from home. You know, the pandemic reason for that is not the case anymore, but those efficiencies are there. And at times, I guess, you know, depending on circumstances or just purely a cost motive, you know, the networks decide to go that route. So interesting that, this was brought to the limelight this time by, of all people, Bob Huggins,
yeah,
who, by the way, is a pretty darn good quote altogether. I mean, talk about a guy who's not afraid to speak his mind over the years, Huggins. But kind of interesting and that you were able to catch that one.
Well, and that's, you know, this isn't being critical as much as it was a notice, and I was wondering if people out there, or is it just people like us in the business that know? I could tell the levels were way off. That to me was the first thing, and then Huggins commented on it after the game. But one of the things that struck me was they're playing Navy. It was the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. They had all these pre-recorded sessions in Morgantown, and I thought not having the broadcasters there was a little odd, but I could hear it, and I don't know if the average fan could hear it. Again, it's not being critical of it. I understand, you know, West Virginia Navy is not some top-flight basketball game, but just – what could other my point of bringing this up was not being critical. It was more, could other people tell? Does the common fan even know that it's happening? And I don't know. Maybe it's just us because we're trained to hear it or whatever. But when they showed the two guys on television, my intuition was accurate that they were in two different places. I could just hear the audio quality. One guy was way louder than the other guy. Their back and forth was a little, you know, but that being said, I'm wondering if people out there who are not in the business could tell.
I think in most cases they can't tell.
Yeah.
And I think the majority of these go unnoticed completely.
And we bring this up because our next topic here is Jay Wright made his debut, and you could tell that those three guys were sitting all together because it sounded like they were three guys sitting at the bar having a basketball conversation.
Yeah, Jay Wright making his debut, obviously, you know, a big, big name in the sport of college basketball, and, you know, now part of the CBS team. You know, it was interesting how CBS kind of rolled him into, you know, his analyst role. You know, he did some studio work, and then he joined Tom McCarthy and Bill Raftery on CBS this last Saturday on the Oklahoma-Villanova game. He jumped in there in the second half and sat in with them for a little bit. And then he made his, you know, official debut, his full debut as a game analyst this past week, a Big Five game, Penn and Villanova. you know, certainly familiar ground for him. And then it was a three-person booth, T-Mac, Tom McCarthy, Steve Lapis, another former Villanova coach, and then John Rothstein was the reporter for the game. So, you know, for that CBS Sports Network game, you know, they rolled out a lot of stops, and it had to do, I would imagine, with, you know, the debut of Jay Wright, you know, as far as giving it that kind of treatment. But we've talked about it before, Mike. You know him well from the Philadelphia market. He's a natural, and I'd imagine over time, you know, if he wants to remain in broadcasting, big things are in store.
Yep, I would imagine that he will get a lot of work on some bigger games as this season kind of matriculates down the road. Let's go to the NBA. Talk about Philadelphia. You got the 76ers and the Lakers. That is a national ESPN game on Friday night.
Yeah, so Friday night, Lakers and Sixers. That's, once again, that Dave Pasch you know, crew, just Richard Jefferson with them this time around. So no JJ Redick. You know, they worked as a three-person booth last week, Monica McNutt reporting. And then there's a late game on Friday night as well. Bucks and Mavs, Ryan Rucco. That's where JJ Redick will be with Rucco. And then also Ross Gold on Wude reporting. And then Saturday night is the first ABC Saturday night NBA game. You know, they rolled out this package a few years back, and I know it's done well, and it's a chance for you to see that number one team, naturally, Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, and Lisa Salters. And then Kestisher will be on the radio call of that one from San Francisco with PJ Carlissimo.
Kestisher's about to get really busy. I mean, I saw his name on that college football bowl schedule quite a bit. The basketball, the NBA is starting to pick up. They do opening night, and then this is the first NBA game on radio since opening night, and then they'll have Christmas Day as well. So Kestisher, he's been on the pod, and he told us about the travels. Go back to the archives to listen to that. It's about to be his busy season right now. He's gearing up. And then there was an interesting story on the local NBA level. Why don't you take us through what happened to Bob Rathbun?
Yeah, Bob Rathbun, the longtime Atlanta Hawks play-by-play announcer, had a really scary medical emergency, and it actually happened on air during their pregame, hit that they do before these NBA games. And they do it actually like, you know, the announcers will sit on stools right on the court with the players warming up right behind them. Sometimes it's taped in advance. Oftentimes it's done live. And in this case, it was a live hit. And, you know, Bob had this medical emergency on the air. His partner, Dominique Wilkins, right there next to him. You know, you could tell the truck, you know, cut away from it as quickly as it could, you know, but you could still, it was very obvious that Bob was in distress. You know, he was taken to a hospital and that kind of thing. Maybe, you know, in John and TJ touched on this a bit, and John Lewis in particular had some great things to say about Bob as far as personal interactions and that kind of thing, and how accommodating Bob has been over the years to the public and to anybody who, you know, wants to learn about the business and that kind of thing. I got to work with him a couple times as his stats guy for Miami Heat games when the Hawks would come into town, and, you know, a real gentleman. It looks like he's on the rebound as far as the last an update we got from, you know, the Bally Sports folks, but a real scary situation as far as that happening. John touched on this, and I agree. You know, it might be a blessing in disguise that it happened actually at the game, because there is obviously all sorts of emergency medical personnel right there on the spot to be able to handle something like that. But certainly a scary, scary situation. And yeah, just our prayers are with Bob, and, you know, that he bounces back soon here.
Yeah, it's anytime I always think about, because, you know what, if you've ever been in one of those live shot situations, those lights are just so hot. It is really, really uncomfortable sometimes when those lights are blaring on you like that. And then you have all the people kind of around you, the energy in that building. So definitely thoughts with Bob on that. NHL, we'll go down the stretch and finish this podcast off with the NHL. Bob Wischusen, our buddy, who was back on the pod in the archives. Go check him out. You'll hear him on tonight. If you're listening, we're recording on a Thursday. He's got Red Wings, Panthers. That's ESPN Plus, Hulu. Brian Boucher, former Flyer. Dom Moore, the reporter. Friday, you got Leah Hextall, Cassie Campbell, Pascal, and Linda Cohn doing that game on ESPN Plus. I love when Linda Cohn gets to be a part of the hockey broadcast. She's got Sharks and Ducks with Leah Hextall. So the hockey season, a lot of ESPN Plus. I watch a lot of ESPN Plus. I was telling you before we started recording, I bounce in to a lot of ESPN Plus college basketball just to kind of hear the different presentations and the broadcasts or when we do this and see if something sticks out. I was listening to Ball State Eastern Illinois last night. What else did I pop into? Nicholls State against Texas Tech. These are the type of things that I'm doing, right? And there is hockey and college basketball all over ESPN Plus. It's a beautiful
thing. I love how deep you go with some of these games, you know. And, you know, I'm a fan of that kind of stuff
Well, let me tell you, Phil, I like to see the gyms, too. Like, Eastern Illinois' gym is smaller than some of the high school gyms that, like, I broadcast games from. Like, these small little quaint buildings, you're like, where is the broadcaster even fitting in this place?
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, it's worth noting, as you're checking out ESPN Plus broadcast, there's certain ones that are basically the equivalent to, you know, network linear TV productions. In these ESPN Plus Hulu games, for instance, on, you know, these NHL games that Wischusen will be at, you know, down in South Florida. By the way, going back to his, you know, where his roots are, if you listen to the archives and the interview we did with Bob, he talks a lot about sports radio down in Miami, where he got started in many ways. And then Friday, you know, I love seeing Linda Cohn there as well. But ESPN Plus Hulu NHL broadcast, another one where it's a top-notch production is the Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus for the college football and also college basketball. There's bigger resources are given to certain shows, you know, where there's, you know, perhaps more, you know, sponsorship and in a bigger, you know, rights deal involved in that kind of thing. While other ESPN Plus broadcasts, you know, are local productions and in college sports, you know, done directly out of the school itself in a lot of ways, you know, with local help.
Yeah.
And so it's worth noting, you know.
The game I was watching last night was sponsored by the Kentucky State Troopers.
There you go.
Just to kind of give you some indication of how localized that game was. It was the title sponsor or one of the sponsors of the game was the Kentucky State Troopers. And I said, okay, then this is definitely the local broadcast of the game. But I was the Nicholls State Texas Tech was a Big 12 presentation.
Gotcha. So, yeah. So just as you're watching these games, you know, from a viewership standpoint, you may want to just, you know, look at it through that lens. But it's interesting as more and more things go streaming, you know, the ESPN Plus Hulu arrangement, some of these other, you know, treatments, you know, it's kind of interesting the resources put different places, even if it's a streaming product.
All right. We'll wrap it up with a little Hall of Famer, Pat Hughes.
Yeah, Pat Hughes, longtime radio voice of the Cubs. This is a big, big award, the Ford Frick Award for Excellence in Baseball Broadcasting. It basically, you know, for all practical purposes, puts you into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. You know, Pat Hughes, he's the third Cubs broadcaster to win this award. Jack Brickhouse did it in 1983. And of course, everyone knows Harry Carey. He was awarded in 1989. And, you know, Hughes has been with the Cubs for 27 seasons. He got started in Major League Baseball with the Twins in 1983 and then spent about a decade with the Brewers before coming over to the Cubs. But, you know, I've never had a chance to interact with Pat Hughes, but, you know, everything I've heard is just an absolute class act and, you know, does a phenomenal job when it comes to the play-by-play of the Chicago Cubs. And, yeah, you know, big-time honor there. He joined some very illustrious names on that list as far as former winners of the Ford Frick Award. He'll be, formally, given that award at next summer's Hall of Fame inductions.
All right. Very good. All right. Down the stretch we come. Hall of Fame. Great story there. And, of course, all the adventures that we've mapped out here. We have our own adventures. So let's get into them before we wrap up this week's podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of slowing down a little bit, thankfully here in the mountains, spending time with family and that kind of thing. And we've got a women's basketball game on Saturday here at Brevard College, which, I'll be working that production on the YouTube channel. And then just chilling, sitting back, watching some World Cup, watching some, college football bowl games, obviously the NFL, NBA, looking forward to that. And, college hoops, a great chance to catch out a lot of these announcers as well. So looking forward to a little downtime, a little R&R, these next couple weeks.
Yes, indeed. And, same here as I got a bunch of vacation time on the radio side. I'll be taking a bunch of days off between now and the rest of the year. But that means I get to pick up some play-by-play because I'll be off and my schedule allows a little bit more basketball season. I tend to be a lot busier. We'll keep you up to date on that. But it's been fun. The year is almost over. 27 episodes in the books here for the Announcer Schedules Podcast. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, tell a friend, pass it along, put it on your Facebook page, do whatever you got to do with it. Keep it locked here on the Sports Media Watch feed. George Hoffman, Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. TJ and John, Sports Media Watch. And, of course, us here on the Announcer Schedules Podcast. All right, episode 27. We closed the book on it, and we'll get you ready next week for another edition of the Announcer Schedules Podcast. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.